Gosh, guys, there's been so much budget news this week, I don't even know where to start.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, I think we have you covered here, because one of the weeks when you were gone, it was the week that Governor Tony Evers introduced his budget. Laurel and I did a podcast about it, and we called it
The Wow Budget.
Yeah, because there was so much in the budget that Democrats liked and that Republicans hated. We decided if you're going to sum it up in a word, it would have to be
wow.
Okay. I listened to that podcast. But how does that help me understand how the co-chairs of the Finance Committee this week said they were planning to strip a whole bunch of stuff out of the governor's budget?
Okay, think of this week's budget memo as kind of a wow budget.
In reverse.
Reverse. Let's talk more about that. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week.
Wow.
And reverse. Oof. Wow. Turns out that Beck single, Wow, from 2016 is just unlistenable when you play it backwards.
Not the way Beck intended.
No, it's not like there's no trippy message or anything in there.
I thought it would be great because Wow backwards is wow.
You would think so,
but no.
Turns out it's not.
Mm-mm. Well, anyway, where are we going to start, guys? Do we want to talk a little bit about the back and forth between Republican legislators and the governor this week about the budget?
Yeah, Republican legislators introduced this. The subject of that, the memo that they came out with this week seemed kind of, you know, innocuous. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Sure.
Budget procedures for the Joint Committee on Finance. Nothing
it's
to see
just
here.
Gonna be some
it's just a process
and,
memo.
Yeah.
Turns out there was a lot in this process memo. And I mean, a lot.
And this came out Wednesday afternoon?
It did. Late Wednesday afternoon. And they're laying out what's going to happen when the Joint Finance Committee finally has its first session on May 9th, next Thursday.
And namely, they are going to remove quite a bit of things from the governor's budget proposal on the first meeting of the Joint Finance Committee.
Yeah, they're not big on the drama of waiting to see what's going to make it and what's not going to make it. They're like, look, we're
just going to tell you right here, right now.
Spoiler alert.
It's all getting removed.
It's kind of the season finale during the pilot.
That's right. The premiere, the finale, it's done. A short-lived sitcom.
Because, I mean, we sort of knew the whole time that a lot of the things that the governor was asking for in this budget weren't going to sit well with Republican lawmakers. And so we knew there was probably going to be some back and forth and lawmakers would, you know, not agree to things, but they just did it right up front.
Yes. The thing with doing it right up front, though, I mean, these are things, some of them are, we know from polling that we've seen from Marquette that, you know, they're kind of popular with the public. And so they're packing it all at the beginning and taking it out. And in theory, that would keep the governor maybe from talking about those things. It's out of the budget. Let's move on. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the governor has made it clear that he's going to keep talking about the budget he presented, even if it's not being voted on, you know, in the weeks to come by the Finance Committee. We're talking like vaguely about what's in this list of things because
we'll get there.
We're keeping you excited about it. What's in there?
So the co-chairs of the Finance Committee said, we're going to cut all this stuff out, everything that's non-fiscal, essentially.
That's what they called it. Yep. Non-fiscal. So this is a list of more than 100, somewhere between 100 and 150. items.
I got 140, but we were very busy while I was counting and I was distracted.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So, and I think there's some debate. There's been some pushback from Democratic members of the Budget Committee about whether all of these items are indeed what you would call non-fiscal. Non-fiscal is they don't have any, you know, financial implications. Is that a fair definition?
Yeah. So every year, the Joint Finance Committee, every year the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the good nonpartisan people who run the legislature's budget office, come out with a list of non-fiscal policy. And
that sometimes makes its way or always makes its way into the governor's budget proposal.
It always makes its way in there in varying degrees. There's more policy some years than others. Governor Evers put a lot of policy in his budget. It's the only budget that they have to pass this session. And so he's going to make them talk about it, whether or not they pass it or not. So he's got a lot of policy in there. the Fiscal Bureau came out with this long list of policy items. It was about 70 items that they declared were policy. Republicans said, okay, we will take those out of the budget. I think you could see this coming. They were not going to pass medical marijuana, for example. They made that clear. One way to do that is say, well, it's policy. It doesn't belong in the budget. We're going to take it out. But what they did on top of that, and this is definitely on top of that, is that they basically doubled the size of that list. And they put a whole lot of real budget stuff. They took a bunch of budget stuff out of it.
Yeah, stuff that has to do with tax cuts, for example.
That's a budget thing, yeah. I would say.
Stuff that involves money.
Money, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the governor had proposed rolling back the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, for example. They took that out.
That's a choice, and they've made it clear they don't want to get rid of that. So in a way, it's not a surprise. Well, it's not in a way. I mean, it's not a surprise that they would take that out of the governor's budget. Mm-hmm. But that's not policy. That's budget stuff, right? Another thing that Republicans say they're going to take right away is this capital gains exclusion that the governor wanted to scale back. So essentially, he wanted to increase capital gains taxes on wealthier individuals. His budget was going to get a lot of money out of that, about $500 million out of this little discussed item in his budget. So that's about $500 million of revenue that Republicans are saying, no, we're not going to take that. And that was included in this. That's definitely a budget decision. That's not, quote, policy.
And then there's the biggie, the Medicaid expansion, right? Which is like underlying a lot of what would fund these other things going on in the budget proposal.
Yeah, along with the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, you know, getting, you know, scaling back the capital gains exclusion. The Medicaid expansion brings a lot of, it frees up a lot of general fund money in this budget, $320 million. It would expand Badger Care to an estimated 82,000 more people. And I think it is one of the centerpieces of the governor's budget, probably. Mm-hmm. More interestingly, I mean, it's not just a lot of money that's coming out of the budget. This seems to be the fight that he wants to talk about at length this year. And he couldn't be farther apart from Speaker Robin Voss on this.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what the governor highlighted after this memo came out from the leaders of the Finance Committee that said, hey, we're taking all of these things out of the budget. The governor called a press conference the next morning, and it wasn't about, hey, look at all the things they're taking out. Look at all these things that they're not going to approve, which are many. He focused pretty exclusively on just Medicaid. So that's really a strong signal that this is the fight that he wants to fight and focus on primarily, is this Medicaid expansion.
What specifically did he say about fighting?
He said he is going to fight like hell. Very strong words from Governor Evers.
He uses that word every now and then. He floats it out there.
H-E double hockey sticks. I wish he'd said it that way.
That's how we have to say it on the air.
Yeah. We can't. None of that cowboy language here on the podcast.
Right.
So where does this leave us now? We're waiting for the Finance Committee to actually meet and do the thing they said they're going to do.
Well, I guess it leaves us, we know where their starting point is going to be. We've been saying for a while that, they've been saying for a while that we're going to have a reset on this budget and, you know, we're going to work from our own budget, stuff like that. And I think we've said for a while that we'll see what that means, you know, that it's hard to just completely undo a governor's budget because all the pieces kind of fit together. And if you take out big chunks of revenue, you're going to have to cut back programs elsewhere. So we'll see if they follow through on that. I would say they're following through on that. And so, that you know, you're starting out with a lot less money, a lot less revenue than Governor Tony Evers was going to have. And so they're going to build their own budget essentially from that starting point based only on new revenue that the state would bring in without raising taxes. So just revenue that's associated with regular economic growth.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, this isn't shocking. I mean, Republicans have been pushing back on the Medicaid expansion since forever, basically. I mean, and they have talked about it being a non-starter in the governor's budget. I mean, after he gave his State of the State address in January, they were talking about how they were concerned about it. And that's when conversations were happening about Republicans working from their own budget, working from a base budget. And so it was just, I think the reason this was big news is that it finally officially happened, right? Or that they officially announced that it was officially going to happen.
And all at once, too.
Right.
Like, they don't have, by doing it this way, they're saying, we don't have cold feet about this stuff. We're just going to take it all out right away. Because there was that article in the Associated Press where they talked to a few Republican senators. Mm-hmm. Senator Luther Olson was the one who was quoted in there, who were looking at potentially some form of Medicaid expansion, not the full expansion that Evers called for in his budget, but some form of Medicaid expansion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quote in there from Luther Olson was something along the lines of never say never.
Yeah.
And then Speaker Voss tweets out that
hashtag
story.
Hashtag never.
He likes to do the hashtags. Hashtag never. You're right.
Yeah.
And it kind of left me wondering if are we going to actually have this debate? I mean, the governor's not going to move on this publicly. He's going to talk about it. He feel like this is a winning issue. It's an issue I believe in, that my party believes in. Let's talk about it. Voss, I don't think he's not going to move on full Medicaid expansion, certainly. Is there a way they can do this? Is there a way they can do this in the budget that both sides can walk away saying we won? Tell me, Laurel, what's the answer to that question? John, what's the answer?
I don't know. I have another question.
We need future John for this. We need John from like August.
We'll just insert him in here. This podcast is going to not be released until then.
We will come back and edit this after we know the answers.
Mm-hmm. So while the leadership and Republican lawmakers are sort of starting from zero or starting from as close to zero as they can, what does fighting like HE double hockey sticks look like on the governor's side?
Well, it looks like reaching out to constituents via the social medias and, other things in speeches. He's trying to get basically a lot of people to call lawmakers' offices and sort of put this public pressure on GOP lawmakers. This is something Evers has talked about all along when reporters ask him, hey, how are you going to get these things that Republicans don't want into the budget? And he says, the power of the people, the will of the people is the law of the land, that kind of thing. So he's asking people to essentially kind of put pressure on their elected officials. And he cites this statistic that came, I think Sean mentioned this earlier, the latest Marquette poll has 70% of Wisconsin residents supporting this Medicaid expansion. So I think Evers kind of wants to ride that into the sunset of the budget. I don't know. However you would say that.
Well, things can be sunset, right? Provisions can be sunset. It's not a totally far off metaphor.
Sure, sure. Why not?
Yeah. I don't think he wants to sunset the Medicaid expansion, but yeah.
Yeah. It kind of works, by which I mean not at all.
Right.
Anyway, what about some of these other things on the list that were taken out of there? Is there a possibility that they could come back some other way?
Yes. I want to talk about one in particular.
Go for it.
Sean was, I cut Sean off because I saw he was opening his stack of papers. And when that happens, there's no turning back. So I just want to get one in.
Get your words in. Whatever.
The medical marijuana thing. I think that's a big part of the governor's sort of policy in this budget. A lot of people have talked about it. And Speaker Voss actually said this week that he could see that passing the legislature separate from the budget sometime this year, like maybe in the fall. He said he was willing to talk about it. So I think that's something that's not going away. We could potentially see more conversation about that. Of course, Senator Fitzgerald has been very hashtag never about medical marijuana. So
I don't know if he hashtags, but
well,
yeah.
I know.
But
just,
he's been
I'm
pretty.
Just, yeah.
His answers are very short when it comes to medical marijuana.
Well, wasn't it just like, nope?
No. Yeah, nope.
Nope.
It may have been
hashtag nope.
Right.
So I'm sorry, Sean. Please commence.
Oh,
I wanted to get the medical marijuana thing in there because that was this week that we heard that could be a thing.
Right.
Separate.
And for those keeping score, that was in the policy memo. So that is squarely policy as defined by the Fiscal Bureau. So some of the stuff that caught my eye as I was looking at this is it's stuff that costs money. Lead service line replacement. I mean, he was talking about, I think it's $40 million in bonding or something to replace lead service lines around the state. So it's not like pure general purpose revenue.
Is this from the LFB memo you're reading or is this
No, this is from the Nygren,
the
Darling,
okay.
the Representative John Nygren, Senator Alberta Darling, co-chairs of the Budget Committee. This is from their long memo of stuff they're getting rid of. This
Which is like the 100 and something things versus the 70 things from the LFB memo.
Right.
This the is, WOW budget in reverse.
This is the WOW budget in reverse, and they're going to get rid of that, the lead service line replacement. So you heard the governor talk about this is the year of water. I think the lead service line replacement thing was a big piece of his agenda on that, and that would be gone under this motion that's set to pass finance. There was also something in here. This was another money thing. Broadband provisions, municipal broadband facilities in underserved or unserved areas, state broadband access goal. So another that's like a popular thing, expanding mm-hmm. broadband. And a thing that takes money, that's out of the budget. So it's not that they might not come back with some type of a broadband proposal, but without all the revenue that the governor gets from these various sources that we've discussed, it's harder to do stuff like that. So I think those are real, you're starting to see sort of the real effect of not having that money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else is in that stack there?
So this is from the long list, the budget in reverse. When we did the WOW budget, we couldn't get to basically everything. I think we sort of talked about a lot of stuff, and then we said in here, like, 18 bulleted items that we didn't fit into our article because there was just so much in the budget. And all of that is in this budget in reverse, obviously. So some of the more popular things that have gotten more headlines, I think, are like the Nonpartisan Redistricting Commission that's taken out, online voter registration. Or automatic voter registration, rather. Automatic voter registration. That got a big cheer during the governor's State of the State or the budget. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
The budget. When he introduced it, the Democratic side of the aisle was very excited about that.
I was kind of surprised at how big of a cheer that got mm-hmm. in comparison to other stuff. But that's gone. This is actually particularly relevant for this week. This is the last one I'll mention because we'll be here forever if I go through all of it. But the driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. There were thousands of people at the Capitol this week rallying in support of that. That was in the governor's budget. That's coming out too.
Well, before we go, and speaking of things in reverse, there was some other Evers-related news that was reversed this week. Do you want to get into that real quick?
Yeah, not budget-related, but we have talked a lot about it, and it happened this week, and it is reversed. Wow.
It really
fits
literally
the
reversed.
Such a good John K. Wilson transition again.
Mm-hmm. I know.
What are we going to do if we don't include this?
That was the chef's kiss thing.
Yeah.
I didn't just kiss John on the cheek. Like, perfect transition.
Good. Probably best to clarify that one. Okay. All right. This week, the Wisconsin Supreme Court issued a preliminary order that said those 82 Walker appointees who were rescinded and then many of them reappointed by Governor Evers. But anyway, all the appointees that we've been talking about with the lame duck session, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, all of you, go back to work, that we're staying that initial order by Dane County Judge Richard Neese. And, you know, there was no window in which the governor could do this. We're returning everything to the status quo, basically. This was a 4-3 decision. You might remember that we have a 4-3 conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and that is how it broke down. So they said, we're not deciding the underlying case. This is the League of Women Voters lame duck lawsuit that says the entire session was unconstitutional because it was an extraordinary session. The Constitution doesn't let you do that. They said, we're not deciding that, but We're gonna stay this ruling and let these people go back to work because we think the legislature has at least a chance of winning here.
This is the case that they appealed it and the appellate court decided not to stay the ruling and then they kicked it to the Supreme Court.
Well, they stayed the ruling, but they said Evers was in his right to appoint these people because mm-hmm. there was this window.
He had the window.
Yeah,
I was gonna
the
say.
Window. The window between when the Dane County Court struck everything down and when the appellate court stayed that ruling. The appellate court said, during that window, nobody uses the word window, but journalists, it's funny. Like it does not appear in a single court decision, but I think it helps. They said during that window, the governor was in his right to rescind those appointments, that the Dane County judge's ruling was the law of the land at that point.
And so now it's with the Supreme Court because they kicked it there. Does that mean the arguments aren't going to happen at the appellate court level?
Oh, no, it's all in the Supreme Court now. In fact, the Supreme Court went down and grabbed one of the other cases, too. Nobody even asked them. It was the SEIU case, the union case. The Supreme Court went down and took that one, too. But we're going to have arguments. We're going to have arguments in the League of Women Voters case on May 15th.
Well, when that happens, we'll be here to cover it both forwards and in reverse. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel Weiss
is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And Sean Hay Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're looking for something to make you say wow, or wow, whatever the case may be, all you have to do is subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics. It's like right now. It's like wow. It's like giddy up.